Well, the beginning of a new month and a new season of the year, my heart has been turned to the subject of Thanksgiving. And so at least until maybe sometime next year, I'm not certain, I'm going to be leaving the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We finished up with Paul's journey to the church of the Ephesians. So we're going to leave that there. And the Lord has led me in other directions for November and then, of course, for December. This morning, we're going to turn our Bibles to the Psalms. Psalm chapter 105, verses 1 through 7. And Psalm chapter 105 is also recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to talk for a little while about the context and the situation in which David wrote this particular psalm of thanksgiving. That phrase, give thanks, appears over and over in the book of Psalms. So certainly we are to always give thanks unto the Lord. So let us read Psalm chapter 105, the first 7 verses. And the psalmist David writes, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O you seed of Abraham His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, help us, Lord, to give thanks to You, to call upon Your name, to make Your deeds known among the people. Help us to seek You, Lord, early and often. Father God, we thank You now that we can have this privilege to be in Your house today. Many of Thy children are absent this day, those that are not well. We pray for Brendan James and Brother Lamont and Sister Birdie. We pray, Lord, that You bless them and strengthen them. Now, O God, own us and bless us as Thy dear children. Thy word teaches in Matthew that where two or three are gathered together in Your name, there You are in our midst to own and bless us as Thy dear children. Father, now, please forgive us of our many false sins and failures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find the very same psalm in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And if you read the previous chapters there, you'll find that the occasion of this psalm was David bringing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to Jerusalem and placing it in a tent that he prepared for it. Because the Ark of God's Covenant, that was that box that God commanded Israel to make in the wilderness in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapters 24 and 25, where the Lord commanded Israel in the wilderness to construct a tabernacle for the worship of God. There was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, in which was the Ark of the Covenant that contained the book of the law of God and Aaron's rod that budded, and a pot of golden manna. And it was there perpetually. And the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God's holy presence going before the children of Israel everywhere they wandered in the wilderness. And that was the symbol that God was with them. You remember, for example, after the wilderness wanderings in the book of Joshua, that the priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant on two staves on their shoulders, they went before the children of Israel into the Jordan River when God parted the Jordan River for the new generation of Israel to cross over into the promised land. It was to be that symbol of God's presence that leads and guides and directs us everywhere we go. But in Israel's history, you find that the Ark of the Covenant was stolen and taken by the Philistines. And it was a reproach to them. And it was here and there in different places for many, many years. And then finally, when David came to the throne, the Lord put in David's heart to bring the ark to a proper place in Jerusalem so that the Lord could be worshipped there according to the prescribed manner that God gave to Moses. But the first time David tried to bring up the ark, in chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, he was doing a right thing, but he did it in the wrong way. The book of Numbers, chapter 4, teaches that the Ark of God's Covenant was only to be borne on two poles, called staves, on the shoulders of the Levites, or on the shoulders of the priest. It was not to be touched by human hands. It was made with wood and overlaid with pure gold, which is a symbol of purity and holiness. So it was not to be touched by the hands of sinful man. But they forgot God's prescription and God's manner. And they put that ark on a cart driven by oxen. And they came to a place where the oxen stumbled. And one of those that were steadying the ark by the name of Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, and immediately God struck Uzzah dead right there. So God's ways must be observed. That was known as the breach of Uzzah. And then we find that in chapter 15, he finally brought the ark to Jerusalem in the correct way that it was supposed to be brought in. And then in chapter 16, so it says this, beginning in verse 1, "So they brought the ark of God, they set it in the midst of the tent that David pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. And David ordered a choir to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." Then, beginning in verse 7, is Psalm 105. I think it's significant that it is here in 1 Chronicles 16, and that the Lord inspired David to also keep it recorded in the book of the Psalms. He says in verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 16, "Then on that day," this is the day of rejoicing, "the Ark of God's Covenant has been brought to Jerusalem. On that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." Then we see these very same words: "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." Now let's begin to examine this psalm of thanksgiving. Back now in our text. give thanks to the Lord. That is a command that is repeated over and over and over again in God's Word. Even Paul in the New Testament, in Thessalonians and in other places, says that we are to give thanks to His holy name. We are to remember the blessings of God in our lives and never forget the goodness, the mercy, the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are then to call upon His name. Call upon Him. How often do we forget to call upon the name of the Lord in our own daily lives? How often do we get up in the morning in a rush, trying to get ready for work and school or other things that have to be done, and we forget, or we don't take the time, rather, to stop, to pray, read God's Word, and praise Him and thank Him for His goodness and mercy in blessing us to rise on a new day that we have to serve Him? I know I've been guilty of it. Calling upon the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says this about it in Romans chapter 10. He says this, beginning in verses 12 and 13. For the same Lord is rich to all of those that call upon Him. There's no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And then verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered. Only God's children can call upon the name of the Lord. Those that are not the Lord's children, those that are not born of the Holy Spirit, have no desire to call upon the Lord. They're satisfied in their sin. They're satisfied in their way of living. But a child of God, born from above, desires something much better that this world cannot give us and that this world cannot satisfy us with. And it is those spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So we are to call upon His name, the precious name of Jesus. There is none other name, Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12, in heaven above nor in earth beneath, whereby we must be saved. And then he says that we are to make known His deeds among the people. That is, that we are not to remain silent about all of the wondrous works that God has done in our own life personally, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our church families, that we are not to keep silent. We sung a choral anthem at our youth camp this past summer that was entitled Sing and Not Be Silent by Mary MacDonald. And it teaches us that we are to sing forth His praises and not be silent. The prophet Jeremiah got to a low point in his life in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. He got so low that he said, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm going to be silent and not say a word about the Lord my God. But he said, when he started to be silent, that the Word of God was like fire shut up in his bones, and he could not contain it. He had to speak and show forth the mighty deeds of God, although Israel at that time, and even the Lord Himself, told the prophet Jeremiah that they're not going to listen to what I have to say to them through you. That's before they went into Babylonian captivity. But we are to make known His deeds among the people. When you read the history of Israel in the Old Testament, one of the most famous deeds that they remembered was the parting of the Red Sea and how that the Egyptian army was drowned in the Red Sea after the children of Israel crossed on dry land. And you remember the story in Exodus chapter 14. And then Moses sang a great psalm of thanksgiving there in Exodus chapter 15. He said this. He wrote a song about it. Then sang Moses this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has He thrown into the sea. And He proclaimed that the Lord is my strength. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. I will exalt Him. I will magnify His name. I will make His deeds known among the people. So of all the mighty works that God did on behalf of the children of Israel, the parting of the Red Sea, and then 40 years later, the parting of the Jordan River, those two were remembered perpetually throughout the generations of Israel. What can we remember? We can remember the goodness of God all the days of our lives. We can remember how good He is in allowing us to live in a land that is free, in praying that the Lord will continue to bless us to be free in the country in which we live. We can thank Him for our housing, our food, and our shelter, for our families and our church families, realizing that so many of God's children around the world are not blessed to the degree that we are, at least not materially. So we can talk among the people of the deeds of our God. Verse 2 says, sing unto Him, sing psalms to Him, talk you of all His wondrous works. Psalm 95 says, O sing unto the Lord a new song. O come, He says, let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The Lord is not listening to the tune, to the musical note. He's listening to our heart, the song that is in our heart. But then He says, to talk ye of all His wondrous works. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, again, when Moses was teaching the new generation of Israel before he died, he told them this about talking about the Word of the Lord, talking about what wondrous things God has done. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 6. And these words, He said, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. First, His words need to go into our mind as we read and study it, but then it needs to sink down deep into our heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and what shall talk of them, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Day and night, we are to talk of the Word of God, of the goodness of God, and of His wondrous works. They are many. They cannot be numbered. There are so many. And then he says in verse 3, glory ye in His holy name. There is none other that we are to glory in or to magnify, exalt, and praise. Prophet Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 24. He says this in Jeremiah 9:24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, the Lord, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Glory in this, that we understand and know the Lord. I tell you, there's nothing else that we can glory in. The Apostle Paul referenced that very verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31. He tells us in 1 Corinthians that the Lord, you see your calling, brethren, verse 26, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble men are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world. He chose rough fishermen to be His apostles, to confound the wise, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world and things that are despised has God chosen. He chose lowly shepherds to reveal the coming of the birth of Jesus Christ when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The shepherds were despised. Yea, and the things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. And certainly, God did those things, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We have nothing in our own flesh in which to glory. But of Him, of God, are ye, we, in Christ Jesus. God has placed us in Christ Jesus our Lord, who, Christ of God, is made unto us wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There is none other that we are to glory in. And then Paul says this in Galatians chapter 6. Who are we to glory in? He says this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14. But God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. So we are to glory in God, and to glory in the cross of Christ, because it was on that cross that He secured our salvation. So we are to glory in His name alone. Now in verse 4 he says, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. There again, we are to turn to Him early and often. seeking Him and Him alone. Prophet Isaiah said that about early, seeking the Lord early, in Isaiah chapter 55. We said in Isaiah 55 verse 6, "Seek you the Lord, seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Now the context there was the long-suffering of God in the midst of disobedient children of God. Israel was in disobedience and in idolatry. They were walking in wicked ways. But the Lord gave them, and He does to us today, space to repent, to call upon His name again, to seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And turn away from our wicked ways, then the Lord will have mercy upon us, for He will abundantly pardon our sin. Seek Him while He may be found. Now, just a few weeks ago, we looked at Paul's journey in the book of Acts, chapter 17, and his sermon on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece. And he said this about seeking the Lord, that God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing that He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made of one blood, Adam, all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined before their times appointed and the bound of their habitation, that they, we, may seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. That we should seek the Lord. And then Paul teaches this in Colossians chapter 3. Seeking God, putting Him first in our lives. We should not be so worldly minded that we are of no spiritual good in this life. For Paul says this about seeking the Lord in Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, and we have been raised with Him in our position when He was raised from the dead, we've been resurrected to spiritual life, seek those things which are above, spiritual things, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we are to seek those heavenly things, to seek God, to seek Christ, early and often. Then look at verse 5 of our text. He says that we are to again remember His marvelous works that He hath done. How well does your forgetter work? Mine works real good. I forget things every day. I can forget what I had for a meal just a few hours later sometimes. We forget many things, but how often are we guilty of forgetting the Lord? How often are we guilty of that? Forgetting the Lord. We need to remember what He has done for us. Paul says this about the benefits of remembering the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, this is a conditional promise. Paul there says that if we keep the gospel in memory, at the forefront of our mind and heart every day, it will deliver us every day. Aren't you thankful that our eternal salvation is not based on how well we remember God in our daily lives? If that were the case, there's not a one of us that would make it to heaven. But in remembering Him every day, we find daily deliverance from the pitfalls of sin, and we find great joy in the kingdom of heaven in this earth and in this life, that we remember Him. Psalmist says in Psalm 77:11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." Remember what God has done in your life, because it will give you strength to press on today when we remember His goodness in our past. Remember His marvelous works, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth that are righteous and true all together. O you seed of Abraham, His servant, and you children of Jacob, His chosen. We, God's children, are to remember Him. Peter said this about it in 2 Peter 3, about remembering God and remembering His Word. He says, "This second epistle I write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." We're so prone to forget. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, because there's going to come scoffers and false teachers." So we need to remember His Word and His works of old. And then finally, look at verse 7. "He is the Lord our God." He's the only one that's worthy of glory, honor, and praise. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way in Isaiah 26 and verse 9. Isaiah 26:9. "With my soul have I desired you, Lord, in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." He is the Lord our God. And then, when you read all the remaining verses of Psalm 105 and that which was in 1 Chronicles 16, you see that He does remember the works of God in Israel's past. He talks about being delivered from Egyptian bondage and how they increased and how the Lord sent Moses and Aaron before them in verse 26. How they showed signs and wonders in the land of Ham, in the land of Egypt, the 10 plagues. He goes through the 10 plagues there. And then He says in the wilderness that God, in verse 39, He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give them light in the night, so that God guided them by a cloud by day and fire by night. How that they were hungry and thirsty in the wilderness. How God opened the rock and the waters gushed out, and they ran in the dry places like a river. The wonderful, marvelous works of God. Why did God do that? Because God remembered His promise and to Abraham, His servant. God will never forget His promises to you and me. And He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness. He gave them the land of the heathen, the land of Canaan. And they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe God's statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. So as we enter this time of thanksgiving, let us remember, sing unto Him, give thanks unto Him, talk of His wondrous works, glory only in His name. Seek Him early and often, and remember His name, for He is the Lord our God. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.